The epistle is taken from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, if I should speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have charity, I become as a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. If I have prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, yet do not have charity, I am nothing. If I distribute all my goods to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, yet do not have charity, it profits me nothing. Charity is patient, is kind. Charity does not envy, is not pretentious, is not puffed up, is not ambitious, is not self-seeking, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice over wickedness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Charity never fails, whereas prophecies will disappear and tongues will cease, and knowledge will be destroyed. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that is which is perfect has come, that which is imperfect will be done away with. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I felt as a child, I thought as a child. Now that I have become a man, I have put away the things of a child. We now see through a mirror in an obscure manner, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know even as I have been known. So there abide faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Please stand for the gospel. At that time, Jesus, taking to himself the 12, said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that have been written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and scourged and spit upon. And after they have scourged him, they will put him to death, and on the third day he will rise again." And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hidden from them, neither did they get to know the things that were being said. Now it came to pass, as he drew near to Jericho, that a certain blind man was sitting by the wayside begging. And hearing a crowd pass by, he inquired what this might be. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And they who went in front angrily tried to silence him. But he cried out all the louder, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Then Jesus stopped and commanded that he should be brought to him. And when he drew near, he asked him, saying, "What would thou have me do for thee?" And he said, "Lord, that I may see." And Jesus said to him, "Receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee." And at once he received his sight, and following him, glorifying God, and all the people upon seeing it gave praise to God. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen. Lent is beginning on Wednesday. Now, the Church requires us today, the current laws of fast and abstinence are that we are to abstain from meat on all Fridays of Lent and Ash Wednesday. And that we are to fast on Ash Wednesday and Good Friday also. So that means Ash Wednesday and Good Friday are days of fast and abstinence. And then the other Fridays are just days of abstinence. Now, this has been greatly relaxed in the past number of years. The bar has been set very low. This is what's on the pink sheet here. Now, I have to remember that abstinence is we are to abstain from meat for everyone who's 14 years of age and older. That is, they've reached their 14th birthday. Fasting is a little more complicated. Fasting is binds from those from 18 to 59, and when we fast, you have one full meal and then two smaller meals that do not equal the full meal, and that's it. Now, there are exceptions to this. If someone needs to have, because of certain, reasons, a pregnant woman or nursing, you're not bound by this. If you do a lot of physical labor, if you're a bricklayer or a roofer, you are not bound by this. If it's possible that you're gonna not be able to do it. Now, for the rest of us, though, most of us aren't bricklayers or roofers or aren't pregnant. So this is pretty easy to do, or it should be pretty low. In the old days, like I said, it was fasting every day. This was just in the 1950s. Abstinence was much more common. There were days of partial abstinence in which you only ate meat once a day. Now, in addition to the required fast and abstinence, there is also, the church asks us to do something in addition, that is, to give something else up for Lent. And we're supposed to do our own personal penances. So when I was a kid, we always asked, you know, when we were in school, we'd ask, we knew the other Catholics, we'd say, what are you giving up for Lent? But we're supposed to do this. Now, oftentimes, it seems like this never happens. This is the reason why here in the extraordinary form we have the three Sundays before Lent that are inviolate to remind us and to get us ready. Now, every penance can be reduced to one of three categories. We do prayers, additional prayers, we give alms, or we deny ourselves some legitimate pleasure. We do some bodily mortification. So, we can do some bodily mortification, do some kind of physical penance. This can be, we can decide to do a partial abstinence or fast all through Lent. This is a good thing, and like I said, you know, it wasn't that long ago that everyone had to do it. It's not too difficult. And you know, the reality is most of us, we'll get the profile there, most of us, it won't kill us to do this, right? We can do other things also, some kind of bodily mortification. So, I've said this in years past, when you're done taking your shower, you turn off the hot water, and you let the cold water come over you for the space of two Hail Marys, but you got to kind of get under there, you know, and you know, really let it get over you. You can do something like that. And you got to make sure that you wait, you know, you can shut the hot water off and try to say the Hail Marys real fast before it gets too cold. Don't do that. You know, we want to make sure that it's good. Something like that. Or just plain old take a shower, cold shower, just in general. Just don't use the hot water. These are legitimate pleasures that we deny ourselves. And the fact that we are doing them ourselves and not being required by the church gives them more merit. So there are other things we could do. I've also said this in years past. I knew a priest who used to call the snooze button the anti-virtue button, right? So sleeping, staying in bed is a legitimate pleasure. And so when the alarm goes off, we make the commitment that we're not going to hit the snooze button. We're going to get out, get up, get out of bed right away. And maybe do some extra prayers or something like that. This is also, denying yourself a physical, some physical pleasure that you can do. Another thing would be to, you can put your arms out at your sides, out like this. Say 2 decades of the rosary, right? And if that gets easy, you can do 3, or maybe hold barbells. I don't know. I don't know if you could do it with barbells. But something like that, where you do some little mortification. There's a lot of little things we can do, and they should be in secret. Like I said, the church has lowered the bar. Why? Not just to lower the bar, but because it gives us the flexibility to then do something in our lives that isn't going to be broadcast to everyone, but that we can select our penance to fit our life. And the fact that it's not required, this particular penance is not required, actually gives it more merit. Unfortunately, the opposite happens. People just don't do anything. But we've got to do something. Give up coffee. Give up your Starbucks in the morning. Just drink something simple. Don't put sugar and cream in your coffee. You may say, Father, I like my coffee black. Then put sugar and cream in your coffee, right? Something like that. All right? Little things. Give up dessert. You don't like Brussels sprouts, then have some Brussels sprouts. I guess if you like Brussels sprouts, then you can give them up, right? Although that's usually not a problem there. Things like that. I knew someone who, I've said this in years past, I knew someone who gave up all condiments in Lent. He said it was the worst Lent he ever did. He said, you don't know how many times you're dipping something in a sauce or putting salt, salsa, ketchup, mustard, everything. He said, that was real penance. These are little things. They're not going to kill us either. Something small like that. The next type of penance we can do is to give alms. Now, alms are different than our regular donations. Everyone should have a set amount that they've determined that they're going to give to charity, part of it to the parish or other charities. That's why the 10% tithe was set that way, because you knew immediately you gave 10%. And nowadays, people who practice that, it's 10% after taxes. And people do that, but you don't have to. But we do have to set something in which we give. And we should know it before. It's not at the end, we pay all our bills, and then whatever is left over, we give to God. That's, we're giving God the scraps. The idea is we're supposed to put Him first. That's not giving alms. Alms is when we give something above and beyond that, usually spontaneously. The person on the side of the road, we don't know if they're really needy, but there are people who are needy there. Maybe this guy isn't, but to give him something, that's giving alms. You don't plan it. You might have some change in the ashtray, and you just give it to him. That's giving alms. This thing here, the annual Catholic appeal, the reason why it happens this time of year is because it's Lent. This would be like a type of giving alms. Usually, nobody plans for this, and so the idea is you give that. Also, remember the old saying, time is money. You can also volunteer special during Lent. That's also a type of giving alms. Now, it takes a little bit more coordination to do that. You have to do a little bit more, I shouldn't say coordination, a little more planning to do special volunteer work during Lent. But that is also giving alms. But it should be quality time. Quality time. You should be, awake and have it planned for this amount of time. That is also a type of penance. And then finally, we can do additional prayers. This is the reason why, like I said, we have Stations of the Cross on Friday. It's good to come to Stations of the Cross and then Mass afterwards. If you're not doing the rosary every day, then you should be doing, maybe you should do the rosary every day during Lent. It's also the reason why we're doing the De Montfort consecration. There's prayers every day with that. It doesn't go all the way through Lent, but it would be a good little penance to do, additional prayers like that. Reading the Bible would fall under this. Most of us don't read the Bible very often. But sitting down and reading it could be good. Genesis, there's a lot of good stories in there. Genesis, Ruth, Judith, Samuel, Maccabees, or in the Old Testament, or even the New Testament. Sitting down for a half hour reading the Bible. When I was talking to the youth group, one of the kids had a question. He said, but Father, prayer shouldn't be a penance. We should enjoy doing prayer, right? And that's correct. We should enjoy doing prayer. But the fact is, most of us aren't at that level. Usually, prayer is sometimes difficult. And I said to the kids, I said, after dinner, when your father tells you, okay, kids, we have a special treat tonight. We're going to do an extra rosary after dinner. And the kids just explode in joy. Thank you, Dad. You're so good to us. We're so lucky to have a good father like you. That's usually not what happens. Maybe it should happen that way, but most of us aren't like Padre Pio, who used to do 50 rosaries a day, and it is difficult. This is why prayer falls under penance, because it sometimes is difficult, even to find the time or to keep focused on the prayers. The mind's wandering all the time, to keep coming back. This is why prayer is a penance. So, those three types of penances. Every penance will fall into that. Now, occasionally I get someone who will say, Father, you know, for Lent, I'm going to, really work on stop taking the Lord's name in vain, or stop saying vulgarities, or some other sin like that. You say, well, you know, that's really good. If you have a habitual sin, now is the time to make a special effort to break yourself of that habit. However, that's not penance. You shouldn't be sinning in the first place. Penance is what? Penance is when we voluntarily give something up. Why? To try to restore the damage that has occurred because of my sin. So stopping sinning is not penance in the sense that we're restoring that damage. So every sin, remember, can be understood as a damage to my friendship with God or destroying that friendship, right? A mortal sin destroys it. Venial sin damages it. We go to confession to take away the sin, but we still have to restore the supernatural order. And that's what penance does. And, you know, of course, it includes God's grace. We do it, and then God gives the grace to restore that friendship to the way it was. So when we see sinning, that is not a penance. So if you do have a habitual sin and you want to really try to break it this Lent, that's good. But you should also do something else, another penance. Now, it's also important to remember that your penance should not be our penance. If you give up coffee and you're grumpy and irritable, then do the rest of us a favor and drink your coffee. Because we don't want to, it shouldn't be our penance, it should be your penance. So if you do something that makes it difficult for other people, then you should probably rethink that. And then finally, our penances should be based in charity. This is the reason why here the reading is, the epistle is the reading on charity. Because our penances should be based on that. We can be Pharisees, that is, we're proud of our penances. Oh, I'm eating bread and water every day, and those other people aren't, and I'm such a better Catholic. Or even to say, I'm doing the fast every day, the old-fashioned Lent, and those people aren't. That's not charity. That's pride. I want to see if I can do this. That's pride. That's being a Pharisee. That shouldn't be our motivation. Or we think, you know, oh, I could lose a few pounds, so, you know, I'm going to do the fast for that. No. Penance is not dieting. It should be given to God. You shouldn't do it specifically for that reason. You know, as I said, most of us could use to lose a few pounds, so it shouldn't be that bad. But that shouldn't be our primary reason. It should be based on charity, our love of Christ. That my sin has damaged my relationship with Him, or in the past, maybe a mortal sin, and so I want to do a penance to make up for that, to restore what I destroyed. So, Lent is coming, Lent is upon us. Wednesday is the beginning of Lent. Everyone should have something that they want to give up, special. You have a few more days to think about it, and then on Wednesday, begin with a good Lent. But we should remember that we should do this and offer it in the spirit of charity, that is love of our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.